number is 1-300-800-222.
That's right, 1-300-800-222, because it's time for the quiz. Sam Pang here with you.
Look out!
That's Judith Lucy.
Excited about the quiz.
How could you not be?
I'm alive, aren't I? I'm breathing.
1-300-800-222. Before that, though, we heard the song I'm Yours by, the great Jason Mraz, Judith.
We all know, well, at least you and I know, that I became a big fan of Jason's last week. And I actually just popped in and, your lovely producer, Al, showed me some photographs of Jason. And I've been slightly shocked and alarmed to realise that I am actually old enough, well, Jason is old enough, that I could be his rather racy, hot mother. Jason is about 12. And I've just seen many photos of Jason, the many moods of Jason Mraz, everything from him eating an apple to just wearing nothing but underwear. And that's put quite an image in my head now.
Isn't that would be the name of his next album, isn't it? The many moods of Jason Mraz. The many moods of Mraz.
Yeah.
Okay, it flows. Well, anyway, you've been on twice and we've played Mraz both times. So you're joined at the hip now. Are you ready for the quiz?
You bet I am. As ready as I'll ever be.
I don't know if this was the case.
Australia, are you ready?
I don't know if this was the case last week. Was I in charge of the phones last week? Did we lose any? Do you remember that?
You were in charge of the phones. There was certainly just some awkward, inexplicable, you know, silences.
That's the radio I like. Let's go to... Is that Hugh?
Yep.
Judith, can you hear Hugh?
I can, Hugh. How are you?
Good, good. Well, it was really annoying because day before yesterday, the cricket was on 7774.
Yep.
And I didn't know you were on, so I rang up. So I rang up just to check, but it was too late, so I didn't get through. And then yesterday I rang up late thinking I'd get the prize,
yeah.
And I didn't get through again.
You know, the good news is we're wasting time, Hugh. No. We've got you now. That's the most important thing.
Hugh, that's very nice of you to say, but do you have a digital radio?
Nuh-uh.
Right, yeah, that's... Yeah. When the cricket's
Who
on...
Who does, Hugh? Let's be honest.
Yeah. When the cricket's on here, the ABC they go to their digital channel. They have another show that you can choose from. I think that's correct. And last night, because Australia played England in the 2020, which I'm not sure how well 2020 translates to radio, by the way. I know that may get me a massive trouble.
Controversial.
Oh, he's hit a six. Oh, he's hit a four. Oh, he's out. You know, I don't know how well it changed. But anyway, Hugh, we were on digital last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a waste of time, sorry, hey, Hugh?
Yeah.
Hugh, what have you been doing today, Hugh?
We went to Science Works.
What's that?
Science Works.
Science Works?
Yeah, the planetarium.
Gee, wow, so last couple of weeks ago, last week was the museum?
Yeah.
And then that's Science Works this week?
This kid gets around.
Did you want to go to Science Works, or was that a...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we saw a black hole planetarium show. That was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
What does that look like? Is it just kind of like a black hole?
Just nothing. And you can...
That's like looking inside my head, Hugh. I'm cracking this kid up.
Yeah, that's... I didn't know you were so good with the kids. Hugh, are you ready for a quiz? You love a quiz, don't you?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to give Judith Lucy the honour of starting off our quiz.
Oh, okay.
There's a question for Hugh.
Put me on the spot.
I like to reward some of the listeners and tailor the question to... For instance, don't ask a Dean Martin question to Hugh.
Okay. You know well, I mean? Should I just ask the first question? Oh, see, don't think I should ask that question. I really just want to ask you a question you're going to get, Hugh. So hang on a minute.
We can give hints.
That's right, actually. How about... Kerry Packer suffered a heart attack playing which sport?
Got your brain trust there tonight to you or just you?
Yep. Brain trust says polo.
Brain trust is spot on.
Well done. You're
Well done, brain trust.
Hugh, I'm telling you, he's got a big future in anything he does.
I don't doubt it. How old are you, Hugh?
11.
I'll wait for you, Hugh. Don't tell me that hasn't got you excited.
And everyone else around Australia mildly disturbed. Hugh, you're a big Kerry Packer fan, were you?
No.
Really?
No.
Even at a young age, it was drilled into you, was it?
Yeah.
He did recover from that heart attack. That's the nice...
end of the story. But he is dead now.
He's dead now, Hugh, just in case you're
never
wondering.
Never mind.
Hugh,
yep.
This is one I've actually tailored to Judith. But in 1982 and 83, so we're going back a while, this is a cricket question. West Indian great Michael Holding, he was a fast bowler. He actually played in our local domestic competition.
Good God.
Yeah. He came and played...
It's like Zeus coming down from Olympus.
He came and played Sheffield Shield cricket, Hugh.
Yeah.
Do you know which state he played for?
What was that?
Michael Holding, he was a great West Indian fast bowler. He came and played domestic cricket in Australia one year in the early 80s. For which state did he play for?
For which state?
Yeah.
So he came down to Australia?
He came to Australia and he picked one of the states he played for them. Judith, you're a big Holding fan, weren't you?
Oh, one of the best looking men that's ever been born, I have to say. Don't think
Victoria.
That...
Victoria.
Oh, I was going to give you such a big hint then, Hugh.
Hugh?
I was going to say, don't feel you have to just stick with the mainland.
Oh, my goodness. Hugh?
Tasmania,
Correct! Tasmania was correct.
Yes.
Well done. Well done, Hugh.
I said Tasmania.
Yes, you did.
You certainly did, young man.
I didn't say anything apart from Tasmania.
No, you didn't.
My brain trust is saying something there and it wasn't me.
Yeah, Hugh, if I was you... Just steer clear of the brain's trust. They're not helping you tonight. You're the one. You can do it all on your own.
Yep.
Ready for this?
Yep.
We're gonna play a little bit of a musical sting, and all you have to do is tell me which classic hit it comes from. Okay. So listen to this.
What's, good times.
What song does that that saxophone riff come from, Hugh?
Brain's Trust says Baker Street.
Oh, Brain's Trust is on fire. Jerry Rafferty, that is correct. Recently passed away, Judith.
I know that. You're all over the place. One minute the Brain's Trust is on fire, the next minute he's got to get rid of the Brain's Trust.
Yeah,
are you trying to confuse Hugh?
No.
He doesn't know whether he's coming or going, and frankly, neither do I.
Hugh's a chance of just going right through if you keep giving hints like the Michael Holding question.
I just love children.
Hugh?
Yep.
No hints on this one, Hugh.
Ooh.
That's from above. From management. Which male actor starred in the original stage production of Phantom of the Opera, Hugh? Which male actor starred in the original stage production of Phantom of the Opera?
And see, the only hint I would give, some mothers do have them, won't help you.
Yeah.
Going, ooh, Betty, there's a whoopsie in my beret, is not going to get you anywhere.
Amazingly, because you don't do impressions that well, that doesn't actually help anyone. It's good.
I can't be good at everything, Sam.
Hugh, you got a guess?
Well, that's a heavy sigh, Hugh.
Brain's Trust is thinking.
Brain's Trust has really got to get a move on.
take a guess, Hugh.
Hugh Jackman
is...
Close.
Very close, but incorrect.
Boy from Oz.
Hugh, lovely to speak to you again.
Bye, Hugh.
Enjoy. Bye.
Good on you. Great. See ya. Thanks, mate. That was Hugh. I love Hugh.
Hugh's great.
Let's go up to Tamworth and speak to Ross. Hello, Ross.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. Fired up for the festival, are you?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of country music, Ross?
I am. I play it and I enjoy it, yeah.
Oh. Now, is it really true that Kenny Rogers is going to be there?
Yes, I'm going to his show.
Oh.
Wow.
Coward of the kind county.
He'll probably croak his waist with the song, so I'm sure it'll be a good show anyway.
Who cares? It's Mr. Rogers.
Hey, Ross, I'm actually quite happy to do this. I've never had to do it yet, but can you just turn your radio down?
It's off altogether. There's an echo on the line. Is it?
There you go.
Yes, I must admit I heard my own voice and wanted to be sick. Oh, I'm still hearing it. Oh, make it stop.
Because I'm on the VoIP, phone and it does it sometimes.
Oh, a what
a
phone?
A VoIP phone. Is that a voice John VoIP phone? Is that a Deliverance Midnight Cowboy phone?
A voice over IP. So it's an internet-based phone.
All right.
Wow. Wow, you're down with the young people.
You are. Early adopter. Well done, Ross. Here we go.
I'm only 15 years old, Judith.
Your voice is certainly broken.
Yes, I'm trying to look for hints for kids, see, so I need to give me some hints tonight.
All right.
Oh, just suck up to me, Ross. That's the other way it works.
Or you,
I'll send you a bunch of flowers if you like. That'll help.
Well, you could just tell me that I'm incredibly beautiful.
This happened again. This happened last week, Ross. I lost control of the show. I'm going to carry on here.
I'll be quiet.
Which male actor starred in the original stage production of Phantom of the Opera?
Because I presume it would be in London. You mean?
Yes, that's the one.
You can't give me the initials, can you?
No, I'm getting a shake of the head, Ross.
What, from the king of the ABC?
From Mr. ABC.
From Mark Scott himself, probably. He's probably listening.
I'm not sure who that is, but yeah, let's go with Mark Scott.
He's the boss of the ABC.
Is he really? Well, a big hello to you, Mark, wherever you are.
But the bad news is, Ross, he didn't star in Phantom of the Opera.
No.
Oh, well.
Well, I would say I'll just have a stab at Michael Crawford, I suppose.
That's a good stab.
It's a great stab.
Well done.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Another good hint from you over there, Judith.
I didn't give any hints.
Our mothers do have them. Well, what else has Crawford done?
That was earlier when we were talking to Hugh, and I knew it wouldn't help you. Anyway, you're off and rolling now, Ross.
Okay, thank you.
Rightio, Ross, here we go. Ross, name the two movies that Judith Lucia starred in.
Oh, just take a dagger and stick it in my heart.
I say starred very loosely.
Yes, he does.
The first time I ever heard of her was last week on your program.
Really?
There you go. You're making me feel incredibly successful. Thanks, Ross.
I'll give you, Sam, I've been to the movies 5 times in 50 years.
Wow. Can I have to ask, what have you seen?
Ray Charles, Johnny Cash, Titanic, Sweet Charity back in the 60s, and I can't think what the fifth one was.
That's an eclectic mix, Ross.
I'll tell you why. I'll give you a clue why. I share two things in common with Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles.
Wow. Ross.
I think we've all joined the dots there.
You're a great singer. Well,
no, piano player.
Ah, very good. Ross, well, I wouldn't even get you to have a guess, because if you've only seen those... I'll tell you what...
Ross, if anyone ever asks, tell them Break Em a Rant and Wake in Fright.
Break Em a Rant and Wake in Fright is my answer.
There, and
there
unfortunately, Ross, they are incorrect. But
sorry, Ross.
Great to talk to you, Ross, and enjoy Kenny Rogers at the Tamworth
Festival. Give him my love, Ross.
I shall do.
Good on you, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're gonna play a track right now, Judith.
You're actually gesturing at me in a kind of a just calm down way.
Sorry, Ross was just such a lovely man.
Yes,
and just,
he was.
Just so many credits for me because he'd never heard of you. You know, like obviously that was a special moment.
I knew I'd come in here for a reason, just to feel good about myself.
1-300-800-222 if you want to be part of the quiz.
Summer with Sam Payne.
That's right, that's where you are. And wherever you are right around Australia, it's great to have your company. We're in the middle of the quiz. And when I say we're, that's myself and Judith Lucy, who has kindly come in again this
Hello,
week.
Hello, Australia. God, it's good to be here.
This is very Dame Edna from you then.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. 1300-800-222.
Love it when I sound like a man in drag.
I can't even remember the standing question that we had.
Unfortunately, it involved me, and that's the only reason I remember it.
Thank you.
I probably should have let that go.
Thank you. Let's go to, as I do the phones again, let's go to Brad in Bishop's Creek. Hello, Brad.
Hey, g'day.
How are you?
Good. Now I've forgotten questions.
That's all right. All you have to do, Brad, is name the two movies that Judith Lucy has absolutely shone in.
Brad, you may also have not the slightest idea who I am, which is really fine. Just take a couple of guesses.
No, Judith, I've heard you on the ABC for so long. It's great.
Oh, well, God bless you, Brad. And you know, after being in these two movies, the only other film role I was ever offered was a very small role in The Mask 2, which you might remember was filmed on the Gold Coast, Brad. And I'm not making this up. They said that I could do whatever I wanted with the character, but as it was written in the script, I was to play the part of I swear to God I'm not making this up, a small, lithe Pakistani man. So strangely, I turned that down. But anyway, Brad...
But is that because you didn't feel as though you had that sort of range?
It just wasn't in me. just wasn't in me. I mean, obviously, I'm small and lithe and Pakistani, but I'm not a man. Sorry.
Peter Sellers in the party.
Sorry, Brad?
You could have been the next Peter Sellers in the party.
Or not.
The small Pakistani man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all move on, I think. But
hey, Brad, can you name the two movies?
No. Judith, I only know you from the ABC and your comedy there, which is great. But I'm sorry I didn't see any of the movies.
Oh, that's right,
I'm
Brad.
Sorry too, Brad. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry because I'm slightly concerned that this question could just go on and on and on as listener after listener goes,
well,
no idea.
Let's see if there's any other. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Of course, these two movies would be available at your local video store and petrol stations right around Australia.
Thank
you. Let's go to Greg in Ryde.
Good evening.
Hello, Greg.
Oh, thanks.
They're very well in here. I'm
feeling a little vulnerable, actually, Greg, but never mind. Yeah.
You're completely safe.
I, Greg?
Yes, I'm a professional.
A professional what, Greg?
Well, I don't know what I'm good at, but people say I'm a professional.
All right, well, you're a professional, and you can just professionally answer this question, Greg.
Okay, the first one that I think Judith would have been perfect in would be Wolf Creek.
Yep.
No one's arguing with you there.
And the second one would be the Dance of the Flesh Eating Zombies.
Just not quite.
I told
there.
You this could just go but on like a bad dream.
I would argue, as we go to Peter, and where are you ringing from, Peter?
Peter and Tysel.
Hello, Peter.
How you going, mate?
Mate, have you seen these two movies that Judith... They're two of
I've
the...
I've seen one of them.
Which one?
Crackerjack.
That's right, there's
thank
one.
Oh, God. thank you so much, Peter. And I really owe you, buddy. I really, really owe you. Thank
yeah, no,
you.
No,
pretty successful.
It was a magnificent performance.
I do look hot in a Lawn Bowls outfit. I'm going to put that out there.
As is Bill Hunter. Peter, what about the other one?
The other one was Bad Egg.
There you go.
And even though I haven't seen it, my daughter has.
Great.
That's good enough for me, Peter.
That's pretty good. So, yeah.
I think, was Peter the fourth person to get asked that question?
Yeah,
I think, Peter, honestly, I really wish you were in the studio because I would just simply burst into tears and hug you. So,
oh, geez, I wish I was there too.
Oh,
but,
Peter.
Look, I haven't seen them in servos. And I don't think I've even seen them in the video racks. I've seen Crackerjack in the video racks.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for saying that they're not at petrol stations. I'm warming to you more and more.
Hey, Peter.
Yes.
Well done. Thanks. I'm glad we finally got to the end of that question.
Not as glad as I am. Well, you wrote it, Pang. Thanks for nothing.
Let's go to a TV theme. I'm going to get you to listen to a TV theme, Peter, from Ties Hill. And all you have to do is tell me which show this is from.
Big clue coming your way from me, Peter. Don't you worry about that.
I'm all ears. Sounds like it could be about seven shows.
It does, doesn't it? Strangely, it makes me think of my last name.
That is...
so Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
You're in the ballpark.
What was that? What was that?
Here's Lucy.
But you don't just...
No.
You're not just fond of Lucille Ball, surely you...
I love Lucy.
Bingo!
Oh, God. This is why these, you know, good. You'll never be asked to host... Blankety blanks or anything like that.
I really
you know
owed
that.
Peter. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. He did save us.
Yeah, Peter got me out of a very tight spot.
Lucille Ball, one of yours, Judith?
You know, I have an enormous amount of respect for Lucille Ball.
I think
she was a big part of my growing up.
Really?
Lucille Ball, she's like the after school, come home and sit down in front of the telly and there they are, Lucy and Des and...
Yeah. I think, Peter, it was either Lucille Ball or Phyllis Diller who dressed up as a man and snuck into the Friars Club over in the States when it was a male-only.
And that
male
would be
only.
Such a good story if you knew which one it was.
Oh, well, one of them. Just picture one of them.
Is that one of those clubs where they all drive around in little cars with funny hats on?
No, that's the Wacky Races. That's a different thing altogether, Peter. Peter, I think as I look over at Al, I think it's time because we missed out on this last night, but I think it's time for this.
Well, I like beer and rodeos, detective books and dominoes, football games and Cheerios. Since sticking around with you,
Peter. Of course, that means it's I've got a you know that's one Burt Reynolds question per quiz per night.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Burt Reynolds singing with Dolly Parton. And doesn't she sound like she loves hearing his voice?
Yeah.
So my one Burt Reynolds question tonight, Peter. Burt was actually drafted by the Baltimore Colts, but declined their offer and went into acting. What sport would that be if I were talking about the Baltimore Colts?
Baltimore Colts? Oh, look, I think Burt would be a football man, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you'd be right. Although I could argue, you could argue he could play any sport he wanted to.
Or just...
It was The Longest Yard, I think, was one of his movies.
That's right. He just did movies.
Peter knows his stuff.
Oh, I know Burt.
And in the remake as well.
Well, you know you're Burt Reynolds and you know you're Judith Lucy, so that's all you need, Peter, to set you up for life.
Let's continue on and, want to go to cricket? Here we go. Name the English fast bowler who spearheaded the bodyline bowling controversy in the 1932 and 33 series.
That'd be Harold Larwood, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Beautiful.
Did you see that miniseries?
Strangely, no.
That was what's the Australian actor?
Hugo Weaving he played Douglas Jardine.
He plays villains really well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Gary Sweet played Bradman.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Sweet.
Chopper Rescue and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Ever worked with Sweet?
No, I haven't. I have actually. We did, in fact, interview him once, and he's a delightful man.
You got a question?
No. Well, oh, look, really, you know I only ever have a question that pertains to me. So, I mean, last week, Peter, I asked people what my middle name was. You know what? Tonight, what the hell? Let's go with what's my favourite food.
Your favourite food? Food.
And the only hint I'm prepared to give you, Peter, even though I do feel indebted to you, but it's a big hint, is my parents were Irish.
And we're not going with whiskey.
No.
Irish.
Yeah, we're talking about a food that is often associated with Ireland.
Now, my partner read your book, so she'll probably know this, right?
Wow, well, we just don't have time for that, Peter.
Potato.
Bingo!
Bingo. Yeah. And you?
Yeah.
They read your book.
No, Peter never...
Would it be all right if I moved in with your family, Peter?
Well, we've got a shed out the back.
Great.
It's full of mess at the moment, but we'll clear it out for you.
I do enjoy the fact that everyone else has read it. Peter hasn't thought about picking it up, but that's all right.
Oh, well, they just gave me the edited highlights.
I'm really going with the positive side of things at the moment, Sam. Let's just get off me. And back to you, Sam Payne.
Thank you, Judith Lucy. Peter, if you were standing on Table Mountain, which city would you be overlooking? This is a tough one.
This is Cape Town.
Oh, not that tough, obviously.
Not for Peter.
Not for anyone with any brains, it would seem. Thank you. Well, Peter, you're on fire.
I'm on fire tonight.
What's the prize? What does he get for all this effort?
It's floating. It's a floating prize.
Bad Eggs.
Yeah, it's a copy of Bad Eggs. Signed by me, not Judith. That's
well,
very
that would
weird.
Be a magnificent prize. No, so you don't know what the prize
is? Yeah, it's something from the ABC gift shop, but I like to...
What, a shop assistant?
I like to assume that it's you get to run through the ABC gift shop and there's a countdown and you can grab anything you want and you throw it in the basket.
And go, oh, will I go with Midsummer Murders or will I go with...
Rumpole of the Bailey.
Yes.
Rumpole of the Bailey complete series is there. That's all I'll say. Peter, you're on fire.
Beautiful.
And when you know that there, you know, isn't really a prize, you must be excited.
I am. I like the time. I like the time limit run through the ABC shop.
Yeah.
I think that'd be...
It's just a minute at the moment. I'm trying to get that extended, but management are proving very tough to shift, Peter. Peter, the two Ronnies, the very successful comedy duo between 1971 and 1987, had a television show. But towards the end of their time together, they came to Australia and did a series. What was it called?
I could only go for the average. Oh, for the obvious. Although I think that's an American thing down under, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it's a good, well thought out.
It's got to be in that ballpark,
yeah,
though.
In the ballpark, and you haven't even said anything yet. Everyone just knows it's almost one or the other, really.
Mm. Because they never employed a lot of imagination. You know, when they brought English shows out to Australia, they pretty much just kept with what they knew and then added something on at the end, didn't they?
Yeah, so it'd be the two Ronnies.
Yep.
Where were they?
In Australia.
Yes, they were.
No confusion there. If you wonder if you, you know, if you're just looking through the TV guide back in 1986, wonder what's on tonight. The two Ronnies in Australia. Looking for, think about all the titles they threw out. Went with that one, Peter.
They workshopped that one.
Yeah.
What more do you want? You knew who you were watching, you knew how many of them there were, and you knew where they were.
Well, it was the beauty of their comedy too, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It was simple.
Peter, you're going very, very well. I've said that many times, but that's simply because you are. Let's go to the next question. We are coming towards the end, but it's this not the final question. Who said this? And it's from a movie. Who said this? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Oh, I don't know.
You heard it before?
This is definitely a blank look from my dog. I saw my partner. Hang on. Blank look from Nicola.
You know what? I'm actually looking at the paper in front of me to see the answers.
More of a look of pain on her face.
Yeah, this is a tough one, and it may be the last question is so tough. But keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Who said that in a movie?
Now I've seen the answer. I, of course, go, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it is. I'm sure we've all said it too. Look, I really don't know. I've had a good run.
You have had a great run. It's been great.
How about we try the theme for me?
No.
Because music's not my strong suit. How about da 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 da?
It's a Godfather show. So who said it? Is it the boss or is it
the Godfather show? I'd like to see that.
The Godfather show was a Godfather show was a show that two Ronnies did in Little Italy in.
So do you want the actor or do you want the character?
Oh, no, I'll take it. Yeah, either's fine.
Your friend's close to the enemy.
Yeah, who said it?
Yeah, I can't give you anything else.
It'd have to be Brando, wouldn't it? Is it the Brando character?
Not necessarily, Peter. Thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
Oh, Peter, I really felt we got to know each other there. I'm sorry to say goodbye.
Nice. There's a shirt here for you when you need it.
I never will, Peter. You'll be hearing from me when you least expect it. Get rid of those hammers. I'll be there.
Good on you, Peter.
See you, Peter.
Ah, yeah. So man offers you a shed and that's it. That's enough,
isn't it? That's the best offer I've had in a long time.
Hello, Jenny from Druin.
Oh, hi.
Sam. How you going, Jenny?
Hi, Judith. Great to hear you.
Yeah. Great to hear you too, Jenny. Are you well?
Oh, yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Good on you.
Right. So you two are just displaying a bit more energy than I'm displaying.
Yeah, well, maybe you should step up.
Sorry. Here I go.
Maybe you should make an effort.
Jenny, who said this? Who said this? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And Judith has sung the theme song to the franchise.
Using the word sung pretty loosely.
Do I have to say the real person or the role that they were playing?
We'll take anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's our approach to life.
Yeah, well, I think I would have probably said much the same as the bloke before.
Yes.
Just the Don in the Godfather, like, the, you know, the head boss guy.
Yeah, the Marlon Brando character, the Don Corleone. Yeah.
It's
not him.
Yeah, but we established it wasn't him, Jenny. So do you want to have a crack at someone else?
All right. I'm having trouble thinking who else there might have been.
Yeah. There was a lot of characters and a lot of actors in those.
Yeah, but
in those three movies.
I reckon next to old Marlon Brando, this guy is probably best known for these movies.
All right. It's
Luca Brasi.
It's who, sorry?
No.
He was just being confusing. Don't worry, Jenny.
Have a guess.
Oh, I don't know. Al Pacino.
Bingo!
Well done. Jenny, he said that in The Godfather Part 2.
Yep.
I only bring up Al Pacino every time I see Judith because it annoys her.
I'm not a fan, Jenny. I think he should have retired in about 1976.
Yeah, I'm not really that aware of you know, what Al Pacino is all about anyway.
There you go.
I'm not into heavy male films anyway.
Not into
heavy male films.
Right, Fair enough, Jenny.
Check out him in a little movie called Frankie and Johnny, where he's absolutely superb opposite Michelle Pfeiffer.
Superb, stretching it.
This is the final question, I'm being told.
right?
So this is a chance to win the quiz.
This is about my third opportunity of getting the final question. I never get it right.
Oh, Jenny, tonight's the night. I can feel it in my waters.
The way.
All right. Okay. Start. You know, chanting and see how it works.
I'm saying a little Hail Mary for you.
Don't worry about chance from Judith. She gives the clues that she gives are usually pretty helpful. What town is the Ned Kelly Memorial Museum based in? The Ned Kelly Memorial Museum. What town is it located in?
Right. Well, actually, I should know this to some extent because I lived in that sort of area.
Right.
However, I don't remember any Ned Kelly Memorial Museum. I do remember Ned Kelly, touristy type thingy bongs.
Yeah.
If I give one answer, am I allowed to have a second chance?
No, Jenny, no.
If it was up to me, Jenny, I would say have five, have 15.
Jenny, if it was up to Judith, she'd give you the answer herself and then drive you the prize.
I reckon Judith should be the boss of this program, not you.
Yeah, well.
Thanks, Jenny. Make a call.
You're not alone there.
Make a call to the ABC.
Jenny, think about a town that Ned Kelly is synonymous with.
All right, well, give me the first letter.
G.
Glen Rowland.
Thank
and we
you.
Have a winner.
We have a winner.
Woo!
Jenny,
I'm lucky.
Jenny, you've won. You've won the quiz.
Well done. I congratulate you on your great support.
Well, we couldn't have done it without you, Jenny. Thank you so much. Hold the line and now.
God bless you, Jenny. A fine effort.
You. Thank you, Judith.
Hold the line. There you go, another fan of yours.
Don't you like making people happy?
Yeah, I do.
Don't say that in a kind of an aggressive way.
In an angry way.
Jesus, you clearly don't like making me happy.
No, it's not top of my list. But I tell you what, the quiz is a great time in any show. And thank you to everyone who called.
I fell a little bit in love with each and every one of you. So, yes, thank you all.
Jenny is the winner tonight from Drew. And thank you to everyone who called. We're going to play a quick track and then come back and talk Tamworth Music Festival.
Summer with Sam Payne.
Yes, and I'm here with Judith Lucy coming up to the news. But first, let's go and speak to Felicity Urquhart, of course, host of Saturday Night Country on ABC Local Radio. She's a singer, songwriter, musician herself. And but we're going to be talking about the Tamworth Country Music Festival, which begins... let's just find out from Felicity. Hello, Felicity.
G'day, Sam, and hello, Judith.
Hi, Felicity. How are you?
I'm extremely well, actually, gearing up. I've got gear around ready to pack to head to Tamworth. It officially opens tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Thank you for that.
Felicity, have you been to a number of Tamworth festivals?
Oh, yes, Judith. See, I was born and raised in Tamworth, so as long as I've been alive, I've been going to the festival.
I'm really jealous, and I mean that quite sincerely. I'm a big country fan, Felicity, and I have always wanted to do the Tamworth Festival, so I don't know how I keep letting that slip through my fingers.
Judith, it can be organised.
Well, look... Is it possible that both Kenny Rogers and a rodeo could occur in the same place?
I know, it sort of does your head in sometimes to think that they're literally a good, if you've got a good arm, you could throw from one roof to the other. Back in the days, we actually used to hold both the events together in the arena. We would clear it out and move the animals out and move the people in and hold the Golden Guitar Awards in the same venue. But these days, we are a little bit more sophisticated, I'll proudly state, and we have our own entertainment centre in Tamworth, and just over the road, well, next door really, is the major equestrian centre, which is superb. They're both incredible venues for Tamworth and the region. We're very lucky to have them.
And Felicity, can I just say, I wasn't in any way meaning to be insulting there. I just meant it both happening in Tamworth, because I just get excited about both rodeos and Kenny Rogers. So,
it is the funny thing that if it was probably at least 20 years ago, they would have been held in the same place, which is, how it was always done. And we would always have a bit of a chuckle about that with, lining up for our Night of Nights in... spectacular fashion, donning on the heels and what have you, trying to avoid the odd cow pat.
Felicity, this is the 38th year of the festival I'm looking at here. Headline acts are including Kenny Rogers, Casey Chambers, Lee Kernaghan and Graham Connors.
Yes.
And yourself.
Well, look, it's huge. They've got something like, 2,500 odd events that are held over an amazing amount of venues. Something, I think it's up to 80 odd venues that put on shows. And it is incredible for a town of the size of about, 60 odd thousand, including the district. It's pretty phenomenal, and then the town doubled in size with population, all the visitors, and they're a little concerned this year because all our Queensland mates do usually venture to the festival, and of course it is going to have a little bit of a make a dent in the numbers that it turn up this year, but there's lots of charity shows that are being put on to help raise funds for the flood appeal. So it's going to be a different festival, but a very heartfelt festival.
And also, Felicity, very important what you just said, but also, as well as the headline acts, there are several talent quests for up-and-coming performers and bands of the country genre.
There sure are. So if you're keen to have a yodel or you're a bit of a picker, you could always have a go. And anything from...
Did you say yodel?
Yes, I did, Judith.
I'm there.
I reckon you could yodel. I bet you can.
You know what? I reckon a couple of tequilas under my belt, I could too, Felicity.
Well, Tamworth is the place for you. We must get you there next year. Well, it's not too late this year. I mean, we're kicking off tomorrow, and it'll be on up until the 23rd with Kenny Rogers wrapping it up. The Golden Guitar Awards, though, next Saturday evening, the 22nd, or Saturday week, and that is the big night. And Casey Chambers is nominated for 7 Golden Guitars, so we'll see. She's up against Lee Kernaghan and the McClymonts, and the McClymonts won Aria of the Year with their album, so... It's a highly contended category album of the year, this one.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Golden Guitar, Felicity, because you won the Female Artist of the Year award last year at the Golden Guitar for your song Roller Coaster.
Oh, I was a very proud local that night and felt pretty chuffed, because as you're a kid growing up in the town and loving the music, it was always a dream to make that sort of moment in my career. So it was lovely to have it. But I recommend it to all artists that one day they get to hold a Golden Guitar and be very proud.
Felicity, we are coming up to the news, but just quickly plug your gig along with your writing workshop.
Oh, yes, great. We're performing Wednesday night at the Capitol Theatre, and then Thursday afternoon for the Saturday Night Country ABC show we're putting on. And then songwriting shows with APRA on Friday as well at the pub. So lots of opportunities to catch up.
Felicity Urquhart, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam.
Can you make love to Kenny Rogers for me, Felicity?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that, Judith.
Just say yes.
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get him to hold the Golden Guitar. Thank you very much, Felicity. Have a great festival.
Thanks, guys. I'll bring you a souvenir.
Thanks, Felicity.
Roger's hat would be perfect for me. That was Felicity Urquhart, country musician, host of Saturday Night Country on the ABC local radio, and the Tamworth Country Music Festival on January the 14th to January 23rd. It's the 38th, Judith. Can you believe that?
I can, Sam. Strangely, I can. And damn it, I am going to get there one of these years. I think it'll be fantastic.
Kenny Rogers, Casey Chambers, Lee Kernaghan, Graham Connors. Imagine Rogers not performing The Gambler. You reckon he'd ever do that?
Oh, look, if he doesn't perform Coward of the County, The Gambler and Ruby, I'll eat one of his hats.
Judith, Lucy, you are sticking around, but coming up after the news, you may recall a little show that I did during the World Cup where I carried a man for the entire tournament, Santo Chilaro, who's...
He's a dead weight.
He is. He was just useless. And somehow Ed Cavalli and I got through the tournament with him. He's coming up after the news, and you're staying.
I think that's how it's going.
Thank you again to everyone who contributed in the quiz. Santo Chilaro coming in after the news.
Summer with Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
And we can reveal right now that's me on lead guitar there. It was Judith on rhythm, but that was me doing that lead bit there.
Groovy.
Groovy. You know, it's wet down at the on your beach holiday when you go into the video shop and Camp Rock 2, the final jam, is actually got Sorry I'm Out.
Say that again, that title.
Camp Rock 2, the final jam.
Wow. I'm not familiar with Camp Rock.
No, I haven't
one
seen
or
it.
Two.
Are you familiar with Space Chimps 2, Zartog? Strikes Back.
Yeah, I was in that.
You were in that.
Yeah,
I'm actually quite impressed by the politeness with which a video now tells you that they're out. Sorry, I'm out.
Yeah,
they're Catholic videos.
Yeah, they're apologetic.
See, you know, it's been maybe 40 or 50 years since you've done radio, and you've there's the craft of actually coming back and just setting the scene of where we are and who we are. Mm.
You're talking about craft.
I am.
Right.
Welcome back to all our Victorian listeners.
In a way that's not referring to cheese.
No, I know.
I find that really astounding.
Thank you. Welcome back to all our Victorian listeners. The two voices that you'd be very familiar with, that is Santo Chilara, and that is Judith Lucy. I'm Sam Pang, just with you for the next couple of hours. These two have somehow I've managed to get them in the studio, and thanks for coming in.
It's okay. That's okay, but I do think the Sorry I'm Out is quite a nice touch for videos now, don't you think?
Absolutely. See, we could have just...
Did we have to stop and detour into the who we were and all that kind of stuff?
I have ABC management just ringing me. I found out who the boss was. Before Mark Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, listener
to me. Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course, you know him.
Back in our day, it was David Hill, wasn't it, Jude?
Well,
In fact, we learned our craft at the ABC. And we were so polished when we did The Late Show. we were as polished as it comes. You know, once Judith and I did a sketch once. I think I imposed this one on Judith. It was called The Rejuvenator, okay? Now, for people with...
I'm nodding.
Yeah.
She's nodding. Now, it was a really poor sketch, right? But it's memorable for one reason, okay? Now, what happens is... I forced Judith to tell people, this is a box that makes people young. That's why she looks so young. To prove it, she had to put me through it. And it all went wrong. It blew up, and my grandfather came out the other end dressed exactly like me. And she said, oh, my God, it wasn't my grandfather. It was a little kid that came out the other end, okay? So it's gone too far. So we had to put the little kid back through the rejuvenator, and my grandfather came out the other end, so it's gone too far the other way. So what happened? I don't want to be like those people that spoil magic tricks. Yeah. but at a certain point, I walked into it, and the kid walked out of it. So my grandfather and I were in the rejuvenator to get live television.
Doing some quality time.
I don't even think I told you this story, Jude. But
no.
What happened was, in those, I would say about 7 seconds that my grandfather and I were together in a darkened cardboard box, we had an argument on national television. He actually, in Italian, he said to me, hey, my grandson, the television big shot. So I've covered up his microphone, his lapel mic. I've covered up both our mics. And I'm going, not now. And he's going, yeah, you know I need a television. You don't get me a television, do you? Because you're such a big shot. And I'm just arguing with him until the little kid comes back in. And I push my grandfather out there. So we had a family argument live on television in Italian during The Late Show.
I had no idea.
Yes.
The role that you played in this, Judith, I'm just nothing?
I think I was kind of, you know, yet again, just the eye candy. And with good reason, too, because every outfit, I think, you know, Jane and I were in the same boat here, thanks to, well, it was the early 90s, so every outfit we had collars that were basically like yachts.
Yes.
On our shoulders. A family of four could have lived under my shirt collars.
Well, you could have done the Sydney to Hobart
without question. And it always teamed with leggings and just... No, I look back fondly on the comedy, not so much on the fashion.
On the fashion. I got accused just before I left here of looking a bit 90s by my wife.
Wow, that's a low blow.
Looking a bit 90s?
Wow.
Was this?
Have you ever been accused of being a snappy dresser? Do you ever make any effort at all to actually keep up with the...
I've always thought of you as a snappy dresser.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I've got to be...
Yeah.
Just...
I wear cardigans with letters on.
There's not even any theatre here. You've never struck me as, you know, with the latest in fashion.
You know where I did want to go with that Sorry I'm Out thing? I reckon that...
We're back there now. Okay.
Wow.
You know this story.
I mean, I was with you before about going back there, but
I reckon,
okay.
And prepare everybody for this because I've been working on this for a long time. I reckon the Australian cricket team should actually have those when they go back to the room.
All right, I agree.
That's all right, isn't it?
No, that was
Sorry,
that
I'm
was
out.
Fine. Yeah, that was good. I don't know.
I think the people who write those actually should get them fixed up because they don't put a comma between. I don't like the fact that they're grammatically wrong. You've got to put a comma after the sorry. Sorry, I'm out. Full stop.
Yeah,
maybe.
So it's at least thoughtful.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Or if it's an action movie, it's sorry, I'm out, exclamation mark. In fact, they should all have different kind of voices. Every video, the sorry, I'm out is, well, you know, if you're trying to get Inception out, It's like as if. Someone should just say as if.
Right. They should, you should have different phrases depending on yes. The popularity of it.
So if it's a sexy film, it should kind of be, hey.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm out.
And if it's an action film, it could be, I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll be back.
Or it could be, screw you, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, hey, what can I do? What's the bad sequel?
Got a text message here, Santa, which you can, 19774774. It says, please tell this story, Snato Guaro.
Oh, look.
Whoa, no, don't get mad.
I'm going to turn on the audience here. No, we back in the D-Gen days, whether it be on Late Show and on radio, because we did used to do radio in the olden days when it was a wireless, I used to keep all the misspellings of my name. And there were lots of misspellings of my name.
Let me guess, one was Snato Guaro?
Snato Guaro was the classic, and that, we've kept that one forever. But my favourite was a guy who used to work with us, a guy called Billy Pinnell, still works in our office at Working Dog. Lovely, fantastic, wonderful man. He used to tell people, you can always write to me at the name of the radio station, care of Billy Pinnell. And he used to get letters to it. He used to be referred to as Kira Billy Pinnell. He used to say, you can write to me, Kira Billy Pinnell.
Oh,
Billy. People used to write to him as Kira Billy Pinnell.
I've often got Sean Payne.
Okay.
I preferred it for many years.
So you'd get, would you get Lucy first? Did you use
Lucy Judith? If I had a dollar for every time I got the old, what's your surname, Lucy? No, what's your surname? That is my surname. It's a funny story.
Yes.
That's pretty much all I get. So, yes. I actually got off easy because my mother's favourite name was, in fact, Lucy. So I could have been Lucy. And that would have been bad news.
Judith, Lucy and Santo Chilaro, I want to just broach a topic before we go to a song. And that's because I picked up it's down to $4.99, the Roger Moore autobiography, which he's creatively gone with, My Name is My Bond. My Word is My Bond.
Lovely.
Really?
That rolls off the tongue.
Why didn't you just title it, I Used to Play James Bond, or I Once Played James Bond. I'm an actor.
And one of my roles was James Bond. Steady on.
I reckon less is more. He should have gone less is more.
This is where... the autobiographies just have to be puns or play on words.
More puns than hairdressers, I reckon, in autobiographies. Tom Gleisner, who's been on the show, of course, he's written quite a few cricket books as
Warwick
Todd. So whenever I need a bit of cheering up, I just walk into his office and look at all his collection of Australian cricketing autobiographies.
Well, sporting autobiographies are a goldmine for bad autobiography titles.
Ashes to Ashes was Andrew Flintoff. I think, who was it? I think Tom's favourite, and we always do look at it, is Gloves, Sweat and Tears. Gloves, Sweat and Tears by Roddy Marsh.
I don't know if it's an autobiography, but I know Geoff Thompson did release a book called Why I Don't Garden in the Nude.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Well, Judith, can I defend that? That's at least that's creative. There's no puns there.
I was just putting it out there. I wasn't in any way knocking it.
That's got me in. I'd buy that book as opposed to say world game. He plays for Chelsea in England. Frank Lampard, who's his is called Totally Frank.
Right. No, you don't want that.
No, it's bad.
Well, the two Mark Taylor and both Michael Vaughan have gone for Time to Declare. And I reckon Mark Taylor should have just gone Tubby. Don't you reckon?
Tubby was fine. It's kind of fun, and it makes you, you know, I'd buy that.
Both did it.
I know. It's kind of weird. No, not at the same time. I think Michael Vaughan only did his... Make an effort. I think there was another English captain who went, I Declare, or something like that. But, yeah, Tim Zura, of all people, put out... Do you remember what his... His was the Gloves Are Off. Okay. Which is amazing for Tim Zura, did he actually play a game for Australia? It's a guy who actually didn't play for Australia.
Tim Zura had a very small window, which I think was post the Greg Dyer era and pre Ian Healy.
Ian Healy was, of course, playing for Keeps was his first one, and hands and heels. Hands and heels, which and doesn't quite make sense.
No, because many people associate hands and heels with horse racing, with the, when the jockey would say hands and heels.
And does it make sense that he had two?
that he had two books?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no.
I mean, was his life that interesting?
Michael Holding, no holding back.
Oh, see, I won't have a bad word said against Michael Holding.
He's a sexy man, he is.
He certainly
sexy
is.
Sexy voice, sexy man.
The whole thing.
I didn't know that Michael Holding had done that, but that is perfect in terms of... Like, as much as you love him, Judith, it's not great.
It's wow. But the least imaginative one, you've got to think Merv Hughes.
Merv?
Mel Brown, who was a legendary footballer in the West, in Perth.
Indeed, you Mel Brown? Coached Claremont, which was the Lucy family team, as well as South Fremantle.
Well, do you know the name of his autobiography?
I don't.
Mungrels I've Met.
See, that's good.
Mungrels I've Met is good. It's good.
It is good. At least there's no puns. There's no
mungrels I've met.
Leslie Nelson went with The Naked Truth.
You're nice.
But I will, once again, I'll defend and Leslie's choice because he actually just made it up. He talked about winning 4 Oscars, winning Emmys, which didn't actually happen. So I'll defend that one.
So it was like
he just made it up.
He made it up. Nice.
I think Zsa Zsa Gabor simply went with One Life to Live.
Nice.
Mm.
If you have some poor... autobiography titles, give us a call. 1-300-800-222. Judith Lucy, Santo Chilaro are here and would love to talk to you. But if I just think they're all bad. There's not many good ones. Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's a very good autobiography. It really is, isn't it? Regardless of whether you're...
Yeah.
You've read it, Sam?
I've listened to the audio tape, which apparently is abridged. It's an abridged version.
It's the quickest I've ever read a long book in my life. It's written like by a guy who's in grade 2. So, you can get through all 600 pages in about half an hour.
1-300-800-222. Bad autobiography titles.
Our number is 1-300-800-222.
Yes, and give that number a call, wherever you are around Australia, if you've got a bad autobiography title to contribute to the show. And when I say the show, not just me, no. Judith Lucy and Santo Chilaro also here. We did leave with, what was the last one I mentioned? Hands and Heels. Of course, the great Ian Healy. Mm. Somehow has two books, Judith.
Playing for Keeps was the first, Hands and Heels was the second, 2001.
Who would have thought?
Why do you reckon cricketers do churn out autobiographies?
What else are they supposed to do?
But what have they got to say? I mean, some of them might be fascinating. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a big lover of cricket. But have you ever read one and thought, well, that was a hell of a read?
Look, it's kind of weird. Tom Gleisner, who loves sending up a cricket book, actually does love reading cricket books. It's like, you know, when we did Frontline back in the olden days, we actually quite enjoyed Current Affairs. It's just that it wasn't very good. So Tom does read them. There are some interesting stories about cricket. I mean, they travel a lot and they're away from their family, so they're always getting up to mischief. So there's always fun.
They're not getting up to mischief like Black Sabbath. You know, well,
I'd love to see the Ozzy Osbourne.
That is the problem. The best sporting autobiographies will not include the best stories. They filter it, Santo. Wouldn't that be the problem?
Exactly. Yeah, I could just imagine Glenn McGrath's Line and Length. It already feels like it's not going to have mischief in it.
And
is it?
No. I know we're focusing on cricket, but Matthew Hayden's Standing My Ground.
No, I don't.
You know,
Steve Waugh's, was it a Captain's Diary or was that Ricky Ponting?
I think both of them famous for their diaries.
A Captain's Diary.
I just throw another one in here from Jay Leno, Leading With My Chin, he went with.
Nice, that's good.
Yeah,
because
that's a good
because
one.
He's got a big big chin.
So
he's done.
Dennis Lilly, did he put one out?
He did. Menace, I think it was called.
I think.
Just called Menace.
And I think he did another one called How's That? But I'm not sure.
Max
that.
Walker's was Tangles. Was it the first one? Was it Tangles?
Yeah, How to Hypnotize a Crocodile.
But that wasn't an autobiography.
What is How to Hypnotize a Crocodile about? There you go.
I think it was How to Hypnotize a Chicken. Wasn't that the first
one?
The chicken was the first one.
Right.
The chicken came before the crocodile. That old acorn.
Let's go to Warren. Hello, Warren.
G'day, fellas. And
delightful lady, yes.
And Santo, I love you immensely, mate. I love
good on you,
all the productions from your company.
Fantastic. Even Funky Squad, good on you. Now, Warren, have you got any favourites there, mate?
My favourites are David Niven.
Mm-hmm.
His first autobiography was called The Moon's a Balloon.
That's right. I do know that. Yes.
Sorry, what was it called?
The Moon is a Balloon.
Yeah.
It's a very good biography, isn't it, Warren?
It's great.
It's great. One of the good ones, one of the really good ones.
Can I ask what's the significance of that is, Warren? Why did he call it The Moon's a Balloon?
I think it was to do with his childhood when he looked up and somebody said, a bit like, you know, Sally Field, so the Forrest Gump, you know, life is a box of chocolates.
Right.
Which I think
similarity, I think. But the other one was brilliant. His second one was absolutely mind-blowing.
What was that one called, Warren?
It was called Bring On the Empty Horses.
I think he's just taken a lot of acid, I can't help thinking, Warren.
His second autobiography from Niven was called Bring On the Empty Horses.
What's an empty horse? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's how it comes about. He says, when they were filming, I don't know, Charge of the Light Brigade or one of the flicks up in the Kashmir or whatever, crap, which, you know, and some of them were great movies. And, the Austrian or German director said, bring on the empty horses. He meant horses that weren't mounted.
Right. To see what Niven did then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. But he talks about it all. He said, he's been dead a few years now.
Yep.
And don't even forget, he was James Bond.
He was. He was too, Warren. Two good examples there from David Niven. Bring on the empty horses. I'll never forget. Thank you, Warren.
I can't believe he didn't go for Niven the Good Life. That's what he should have got.
I will say
Niven
this.
It up.
You two have 20 minutes to come up with. I don't think. Well, you have written yours, kind of, haven't you?
Oh, that was just being on about my parents.
Exactly. You've got to have it. I've got one. Not for me, but you've got to come up with your own.
Oh,
ridiculous! You've got 20 minutes, by the way.
You know who says we don't have to?
What about you take the high road? I'll take Chala Road. Come on!
that's good.
Let's go.
You should use that.
Let's go to Susie. Ooh, let's go.
Ouch, that's a really, really badly timed shot through the covers. It's really made my hands ring.
Oh, just a quick single's fine. Yeah, Susie from St Kilda. Hello, Susie. Susie, are you there? No.
Hello.
Hello, Susie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Have you got a bad autobiography title?
Oh, I think it's rather good. Ooh, bad.
Well.
It's along the same lines of just what you've been talking about, making up your own, and I've made it up for my own, and it's When My Mattress Breaks, I'll Love You in the Spring.
Hey.
That's,
That could be a movie.
But it should be, I love you. On the springs, in the spring. That could be uncomfortable.
Susie, is this your title for an autobiography? Your own, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
What's your full name?
No. Susie Quirk.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. You got another one?
when the mattress breaks.
Yeah, don't you get it?
What's yours made out of alabaster? What's it?
It's a pun.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
And I assumed that Susie just made love very vigorously. That's what I assumed.
Oh, we finally.
See, I'm telling you, I really want my autobiography titles to be much clearer than that. Mm. I don't want
really?
That. Yeah, I don't want that level of creativity. I like the Frank Lampard one, totally frank.
You just want two or three words. Get in,
it.
Get out.
No, but thank you, Susie.
All right, no worries.
Thanks, Susie.
Let's go to Barb in Yarraville.
That's me.
Hello, Barb.
Hello. My title is, it's a real one.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
It's Christopher Reeve's autobiography.
Right.
Which was called Still Me.
Still
which,
Me.
Yeah. He was quadriplegic.
That's
why would you? Of course he was still.
Yes, it's still him. He's just telling people that, yes, I'm still, I'm no longer what I look like, but I'm still me.
I know that's what he meant,
yes.
But...
And is it a good...
As soon as I heard it, I thought, how did that get through everybody? Of course he's still.
Yeah.
He can't move.
See, he's still. That's what Reeve was doing there. But have you read it, Barb?
No, I haven't read it. Is it good?
No,
I don't think
none of us have read it, Barb, but... there you go.
But the title just appealed to me.
It's nice.
Fair enough,
thank
Barb.
Thank you very much, Barb. Let's go to... Bill in Preston. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Sam.
How are you?
And panel.
Yes.
Panel?
Hey.
Oh.
I've got two for you. I'll give you a guess on Ian Redpath's autobiography.
Oh, Redders?
Anything else?
Something about a path.
it was...
Ian Redpath.
Ian Redpath.
Down the garden path.
Which one are you busy?
Yeah.
Go on.
Always ready.
Ooh.
And Alan Border had one that was called Beyond 10,000.
That's right. Beyond 10,000, yeah.
A beautiful, like I remember reading this little anecdote at the time, just thinking, God, he obviously wrote this himself. He went into his primary school days, and there was a little gang that he was a part of. Tom Burlinson was part of it.
Wow. Burlinson and Border were mates.
Yes. They went to the same primary school, and they were part of a little group they called the Sexy Six.
Look out.
That is in Alan Border's autobiography, Beyond 10,000.
Uh-huh. So Captain Grumpy was in the Sexy Six.
He was in the Sexy Six.
I'm concerned that may have been the high point of the book.
It's the only thing I remember.
There you go.
Good on you, Bill.
Cheers.
Thanks very much. I'd actually like it if it was Alan Border as one of the judges in the X Factor instead of Burlinson. That would have been interesting.
That would have been very nice.
AB, Captain Grumpy. How do you not get Grumpy into his title? That's astonishing.
Beyond 10,000. I think that was the one and only. He only had the one book. Nothing about captains. This is a captain's diary. It's Beyond 10,000. I made 10,000 runs. I'm going to tell everybody.
Says it all.
Got one here from Davy Jones. Do you remember him?
Yeah,
from the monkeys.
Yeah. They made a monkey out of me, he went with.
Sounds a little bitter.
I would have gone Davy Jones as a locker.
Hey, the actor Charles Grodin.
Yes.
Good one. It'd be so nice if you weren't here.
Hey. Yes.
Which, unfortunately, when he was acting in a particular movie, I think he was in a castle. The woman who owned the castle, he was just sitting there minding his own business. The owner of the castle came up to him, and that was her opening line.
So these
it'd be so nice if you weren't here.
These are no good because they're actually fine. The bad ones like the Jack Lemmons, A Twist of Lemon.
Oh,
that's good.
Okay.
I do like that.
Yeah. Lou Costello from Abbott and Costello.
Lou's on first.
Of course it was Lou's on first. Like, that's what I'm after.
I think Benny Hill may, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe, I think it's Saucy Boy. No puns or anything, it's a Saucy Boy. Or someone certainly wrote a biography about him called Funny Peculiar, but geez, you'd love to. Some of those guys. I think Jerry Lewis did have.
Surely Jerry has had a few.
I would
think.
Me and Dino were best mates.
You know what it is? It's Jerry Lewis in person. Jerry Lewis in person. It was.
Let's go to Peter in Melbourne. Hello, Peter.
Hi. How are you?
Very well.
That's good. I've got Darren Lehman's autobiography.
Boof.
No, it's not called Boof.
Shrek?
No, not Shrek either.
What is it?
Worth the Wait.
Because
W-A-I-T, but yes, you know, but play on words.
Yeah, because
he was a slightly chunky. He was a chunky
Gotcha.
Rubenesque cricketer.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah.
What, not bad, Peter.
And I have a Bobby Simpson autobiography, which is rather unimaginatively titled Simo.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Good. A lot of effort. Think of all the ones they threw out before they went to Simo.
Yes. Good. We'll arrive at that.
Thank you very much, Peter.
A pleasure.
Let's keep going with Bill from Moree. Hello, Bill.
How are you going?
Good.
That's good. Peter Sellers has an autobiography called P.S. I Love You. And I think it stands for... I think the P.S. stands for Peter Sellers.
Yeah, it would, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty...
That is good. That's very good.
Happy with that.
You're after corny ones.
I think absolutely top marks to you.
It's bad enough. It's
no, we're having a go, Peter Sellers.
Oh yes, you know, it's just P.S. Sure, but I love you.
Exactly.
It's making me feel a little ill.
Good on you, Bill. P.S. I love you. Of course, great movie starring Hilary Swank. For all you romantic comedy fans out there.
You've actually seen that?
Of course. And she wrote a book called HS, I Love You.
Thank you. PPS, see my movie. Bill from Blackburn.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Many years ago, Chopper Reid came out with several biographies. I think he had about seven there at one stage. And I'm pretty sure the title of the first one was Hits and Memories, I think.
It was. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it actually was. Yeah, that's. You're still finding it funny.
It was a good record.
It is. I agree. I think it's great.
And now you see, you go Chopper Reid. Yes, you'd have some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a few stories, but I think he brought out in volumes. So there was.
Yes.
It went right up to volume 12 as well, I think. But
I bet he's got another few in him.
Yes, and I, yeah, sure. And Hits and Memories. You'll be all ears.
That's right. Also, reading the latest Kerry O'Keefe one, which is Skullduggery or something like that. But
that's right. It's Skullduggery, yeah.
Skullduggery, which is pretty much the same as his last one. The same stories are in there anyway. So I'm finding. I've got one for you, Judith.
Oh, let her rip.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
See, that's...
doesn't make a lot of sense, but you can run with
it. No, that's the beauty of it.
No, I am going to run with that. Let me tell you, you've got a percentage coming your way. When that bestseller comes out, I'll look you up.
Good on you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
And then you see I can release the follow-up, Hey Jude. Just go down the whole Beatles
path. So this is, if nothing else, we have come to the conclusion that when you two write your, you know, the definitive account, yours will be Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And have you improved on You'll Take the High Road, I'll Take Chala Road?
I'm thinking about you. I reckon Pangs of Hunger.
Yeah.
Or if there's a family account of Pangs of Hungary, the Pangs of Hungary.
Surely it would be Pangs for the Memory.
See, that's shortlisted already. Thank you to everyone who called. Some of them actually just stand alone quite good.
Hey, the Santa Claus.
Huh? That's a movie. I don't read a book. Just go straight to the movie.
Well, I've had it my whole life.
That's Judith Lucy Santo Chilaro here with you.
Summer with Sam Payne.
That's right. Here with you for another hour with Judith Lucy. Santo Chilaro, though, has to go pretty soon. I'm forcing you out.
No, that's fine.
If you wanted to, we were talking bad autobiography titles. Tori Spellings.
Misspelled youth.
Yeah, no, she went with storytelling. See what she did there?
Yeah. I can't imagine there's a lot in that book.
No, there wouldn't be.
No. I mean, there's only so much you can write about your plastic surgery, I would imagine. Right. But
And, of course, one of Australia's most prolific authors was mentioned, the great Max Walker.
Mm.
Did you both say How to Hypnotise...
A Chook. How to Hypnotise Chooks?
Yeah. How to Hypnotise Cooks? Or it would be Chooks, wouldn't it?
It would be Chooks.
Yeah. Chooks. Tangles was first.
Yes.
Cricketer at the Crossroads.
Oh.
I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with Max Walker, it does have to be said.
Wow. Did he have a go at you?
Well, no, I had a bad experience, and it wasn't his fault, but I did a corporate gig many years ago for a bunch of accountants in Adelaide, and just before I got on stage, the person who organised the gig came up to me and said, actually, the guys didn't want you, they wanted Max Walker. And... you know what? I didn't go down that well. I strangely don't have any cricketing anecdotes, and I couldn't hypnotise a chook or anything else.
Could you puzzle a python?
Could you tame
a lion?
Done. Yeah, see?
But you have been at the crossroads.
You bet I have.
And I guess you can you be called Tangles at times?
And, of course, before the Judith Lucy family alphabet got its title, you were gonna name it Caps, Hats and Helmets. Cricket's a funny game. That's Maxie's last one.
Damn straight. How many books is that?
He's written over 10. There's about 15 or something, isn't there?
14.
More than the Nancy Drew series.
Yeah. Hey, this is a weird thing. You probably don't even remember this, Judith, but all your book, you know, your about your interesting family life and everything like that, I remember bumping into you the very day you got back from Perth.
Good Lord.
And you were in a... I'm sure
was
you don't...
hysterical?
No. You were catatonic. No, you, in fact, I'm not surprised you don't remember it. I bumped into you in St Kilda somewhere, and and, hey, Jude, how are you? And it was, I wasn't getting much back. And then you basically mentioned where you went and what happened. And oh, so I, that was the very day you got back to Melbourne.
What, when I got back from Funny and I was adopted?
From the whole kit and caboodle.
Good Lord. Well, I am sorry that I don't remember, but yeah, I was drunk for about 2 years after that. So that's why.
Santo?
Yeah?
What's going on? What have you got on this year? Anything, you know, you need to plug?
There's actually, you know, there are a couple of things, but the one thing I did want to mention is how good's this? I was bowling at my older boy, he's 13, at the cricket nets at a place called Apollo Bay, which is on the Great Ocean Road. And 2 days later at Nippers, you know what Nippers is?
No.
It's where they teach young kids how to life save and stuff like that.
Oh,
it's this,
wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thing. You know, one of the guys comes up to me and goes, hey, mate, word's got around that you can bowl a ball pretty straight and pretty fast.
Hey.
I was headhunted by the Apollo Bay Seas to play in their game. I couldn't do it because I had to go do it. Can you believe it? Me?
Recruited. Poached.
That's... Poached.
You got to be happy with that.
It actually made my holiday.
What do you actually, because you know when you play cricket, the umpire will often, when you get thrown the ball, say, what are you bowling? The traditional thing is a right arm over, left arm around, whatever.
I just usually say a ball.
Yes.
I'm not bad. I'm sort of a good, okay, I'm a decent medium pacer. I can off cut the ball and I can also, I've got also not a bad slow ball out the back of the hand. Fools the kids every time.
In a social game, which was quite, obviously, a quite relaxed atmosphere, I got thrown the ball and he said, what are you bowling? I said, right arm mysterious.
Ah.
And he said, no, really, what are you bowling? I said, just right arm, off spinners, thanks.
It's a mystery ball.
A friend of ours, though, John Araglasso, was playing in a game once and an opposition bowler who, his first game, got thrown the ball and as he walked past the umpire said, what are you bowling, mate? And he said, Yorkers. So he actually gave away his game plan. He was going to bowl Yorkers for in his entire spell.
Yeah, my eyes just glaze over.
At that point, Judith. Yeah.
By the way, ask Judith anything you want about Michael Holding.
Oh, exactly.
And the answer will be, isn't he attractive?
No, holding back. He's got a great voice. You know what? Strange enough, I do have something to plug, even though it's something that we haven't even done. We did a while ago. And that is... We put out some travel books, Mulvania,
Fake Tan, San Sombrero,
a couple. We've turned them all into apps. So it's like, you know, you can do stuff like Lonely Planet have apps for cities and stuff like that. So we've got these apps that you can go to iTunes and get. It's called the Jetlag series of apps, and it's for countries that don't exist. So it's all these apps and which helps you get through places that don't exist. How about that?
That's nifty.
It's totally useless as an app, but it's not as bad as the... What's the one that does all the fart noises? 30,000 farts? Is that...
No. I know that Leslie Nelson
used
to...
Look, I've just still got 2 tin cans and a piece of string, so I barely know what an app is.
Judith, you've got Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds to write. You've got I'll Take the High Road, You Take Chala Road. Or actually, which one of you and your production company will be taking the title Working Like a Dog?
Working Like a Dog doesn't sound like an autobiography. It sounds like it's the authorised, actually maybe the unauthorised biography by some guy.
Well, Judith and I will write that yeah. for you. Santo, yeah. Great to see you.
Good to see you.
For the first time.
And we didn't even talk about the Asian Cup. And
no, we didn't.
There.
The 4-0 against India, happy with that?
We killed them. Traditional rivals.
Traditional rivals. Judith Lucy is staying with me for the next hour.
I got nothing else to do.
Coming up, though, after the news...
I'm going to catch up with Warren.
We loved you, Warren. Thanks for calling. We will be taking a half-hour special edition of PM, focusing on the latest from the Queensland floods. That is coming up just after news headlines. A number has been set up for friends and relatives concerned for all those caught in the floods. It's 1300 993 191. Judith Lucy will be staying with me. Special edition of PM coming after this. Santo, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Thanks, Judith. We'll see you around.
As fun as you remember. Here's the news.
1 hour, just like that.
It goes very fast. It's unbelievable.
Summer with Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
Yes, that is where you are. Also joining me since the start of the show is Judith Lucy. Hello again, Judith.
I feel like I'm just living in a dream. Is this really hour number three?
It is.
And flown by.
Considering it came in last week, it's actually hour number six.
Good God.
But we're almost there. That, of course, was the special edition.
That sounded a little pained. We're almost there. We're almost over the line.
Oh, yes. Everyone, don't worry. Leon Compton, he will be here soon. That, of course, was the special edition of PM that you just heard. And... but now, though, some live music to take us to the end of the show. And, well, I don't know how to do it. Me doing intros for musicians doesn't usually go that well. I'll just say I was a big fan of the artist in front of us, Judith, ever since her album Pendulum came across my desk. And it's a big pleasure to welcome into the studio Liz Stringer. Hello, Liz.
Hi, Sam. Thank you.
Very few things get me as excited as a chick with a guitar. I am just sitting here now just thinking, take some deep breaths, Lucy.
Liz Stringer, is that a name that actually, it sounds, it's easy to say both names. Do you get that a lot? Or people just go,
what, Liz Stringer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. It's pretty good.
I feel very comfortable just going with Liz Stringer. I hope that's all right with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
For those around Australia listening who may not know who you are a singer-songwriter?
Yes.
now it's over to you. You can take over now.
Yes. Well, that's...
Pretty much it?
Yeah, that's it. I think you've done...
That's
you've
a hell of an interview you're conducting there, can I tell you? And, that's really... We're really all learning a lot about Liz.
Neil Compton may be coming on early tonight.
Leon Compton.
Oh, sorry, Leon Compton. I'm going Neil. I'm sorry, Neil. Sorry, Leon. Liz.
Yeah.
Tell us about Pendulum, though, because that was the album that I first was introduced to your music.
Yeah. Well, that was my second of three. So that was released in 2008, I think. And yeah, it was all right. It was good.
it must be hard to comment on your own body of work, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? Yeah, it's top stuff.
It's very hard. It's people ask you often what sort of music you play, and it's impossible to answer, I think, unless you just play bluegrass or, you know.
Can I ask, because everyone calm down, but I learned the guitar when I was a kid. I used to play such classics as If I Could Save Time in a Bottle, and the theme to the magnificent John English miniseries Against the Wind, which was a song called Four Ribbons. And I'm just wondering how old you were when you started playing the guitar, and if you started off with a few embarrassing tunes as a kid.
No, I am... My more embarrassing tunes were piano-based.
Ah.
Guitar. I started playing guitar when I was about probably 15.
Oh, and you groovy by then.
Yeah, yeah. I was, well, less embarrassing by 15. But, I played some embarrassing stuff on the piano. I think, my dad was really into musical theatre.
Mm.
So I actually saw Fiddler on the Roof on TV the other night and was reminded of a few classics that I used to play on the piano for Fiddler on the Roof.
A classic. Yeah, started with piano before guitar or...?
Yeah, since I was very, very little, yeah.
I did some piano training, Judith.
What could you bang out?
The theme song to Cheers.
Of course.
Ah,
yeah, that's what I went to. And also... the theme song to Star Wars. Are you picking up a pattern?
Yeah,
I basically traded. I would do deals with my piano teacher. I only ended up going to grade three, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learnt the pieces for the grade four exam. And then 2 weeks out from the exam, my teacher said, "So how are your scales going?" I said, "Well, they're not."
And so you said they've fallen from my eyes. In fact, I'm made for bigger things.
Exactly. I didn't. I didn't bother too much with the scales, so I pulled out of my grade four exam. But I was doing deals with my piano teacher about, oh yeah, okay, I'll learn Sonata in D if I can, but I want to learn the theme song to Cheers as well.
Cheers, yeah.
Do you still play piano? Oh, you can't play piano and guitar when you're on stage, can you?
Not at the same time, no.
Right, I picked
that. But I play piano on... I've never played it on stage. No, that's a lie. I did play it once for Van Walker's album launch. We actually took a piano from Richmond to the corner. So we took it in a delivery van, and I played a real piano on stage. But that's the only time I've ever done it.
Well, Liz Stringer, tonight you haven't brought in a piano. You've got a guitar.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear a track. But now it's over to you. You can set up the track and where it's
from.
Okay. I leave everything to the actual talent. So you are listening to Liz Stringer, though.
Okay, well, this is a song from my latest album called Tides of Time, and the song's called Motel Halls.
Gorgeous sound of Liz Stringer. The song you heard is off the Tides of Time album, and it was called
Motel Halls.
Motel Halls, yes. And that Tides of Time is the album, and that was released in April of last year.
Mm.
on tour after that? Did you where did you end up or last year after the album was released?
Yeah, we toured all around. All around Australia. After the Kimberley, played at the Kimberley Moon Festival with Johnny Farnham.
How was that?
That was the highlight of my career.
Well, I'm
far.
Going the Kimberleys. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
But how was Farnsie?
He's amazing.
In what sense?
He is the voice. Yeah.
What did you have to do with John Farnham?
Oh, well, I didn't actually. We played on right next to the Ord River, so he was ferried in on a boat and appeared through these reeds.
As he should.
As he should.
He is the voice.
In a flowing cotton shirt and just was whisked into the good room. and then he, as soon as the concert was finished, he left as well.
But a nice guy.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't want to show off.
Well, you just dropped something, by the way.
Yeah. It's actually really embarrassing, but I am in a Johnny Farnham video clip.
What?
Yes, with the rest of the cast of The Late Show. All in a video clip of a song of his called Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time.
Poetic.
Very. But yes, so I did meet him very briefly doing that many years ago, and he was a lovely chap.
Really?
He actually came on The Late Show and took part in a few things, so it was kind of like, you know, it was a favour that was returned, yeah. I think. I had nothing to do with it, but yeah. I do remember a nice man. But there you go. Who knew I was in a music clip?
Yeah.
Isn't that groovy?
I don't think I know that song. Is it on YouTube?
No,
I'm going to have to YouTube
it. There's no mistake there. I'd let it go, actually, Liz. I wouldn't,
yeah,
I wouldn't,
well,
really waste your time on that.
I'll tell you what,
that.
Liz may be letting it go, but I'll be keeping it with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Didn't think that through.
Do you know, a film clip is something I've always wanted to be a part of. Mm. You're walking away from your one. I'm dying to get in one.
Yeah, it really
Liz.
Depends on the artist, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
To be in a Liz Stringer clip, wow. That would be a delight. Can I just say, sitting here listening to you, I mean, I'm often filled with self-loathing, but as a comedian, you just feel useless. Just a lot of the time, and especially when you're confronted with genuine talent. And I was just listening to your voice, listening to that beautiful song, and thinking, oh, give it away, Lucy. Just you know, here's someone that really knows what she's doing. Yeah. That was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It goes without saying, I will probably should have said that. And yet, Judith, despite that spiel about how talented Liz Stringer is and how beautiful her voice is and how you have an appreciation of talent, you somehow include singing in almost all your stand-up.
That's where the comedy comes in, Sam. It's not something that I'm naturally gifted at. I'll freely admit that.
Is that true with
I'm
your big shows? With your shows,
in dancing either, but I subject the audience to that too.
But with your shows, that when you do a comedy show, do you make? Is it every one of them now? Or all your big shows have at least had one song in them?
No, that's not true.
Okay.
A song or a dance, though. Yeah, a lot of them have. Because I think in reality, Liz, I just wish that I'd been some sort of old-time hoofer, really. I just wish that I'd been Debbie Reynolds or Judy Garland. So, you know, I do inflict that on the audience that it's possibly something, especially when I hear someone who can actually sing go to work. It's possibly something I should just really, you know, stick with the gags, funny lady, and leave it at that. But you're recording a new album soon? Do you like that part of the process? Is the writing part of it something you enjoy, or can it be a bit excruciating?
No, I do enjoy it. Sometimes, no, I do. I was going to say sometimes it's excruciating, but not. I mean, it's sometimes it's a bit like a puzzle, and some puzzles can take a lot longer than others to solve. But usually they end up working, and if they don't, they're probably not a good song. You know,
and it must be a nice counterbalance to the touring, is it? To then just able to sit in your living room and just
it's great. It is. I love recording too. It's a much different process. So that I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Liz, can I ask the boring question about your influences in music growing up?
Well, like I said, Dad was is really into musical theatre, so that's and a lot of Irish folk music, and I think that's part of the reason why a lot of my songs are quite melancholy, you know, because I grew up listening to these really tragic, beautiful songs. So yeah, that was. I've never had my finger on the pulse of popular music, I have to say. I was quite an uncool, or not an uncool, quite, I just, you know, never admitted my ignorance, but I didn't know a lot about, you know, what was going on.
Don't worry, you fit in perfectly here tonight,
yeah,
Liz.
I was going to say, really, you're looking like a fridge compared to Sam and I.
Liz, just before we get you to play another track, do you have, like a guilty pleasure, like, you know, secretly you love Roxette or someone like that, you know, that's...
Oh, Billy Joel. But I've been in, you know, I've defended Billy Joel and probably will for the rest of my life, I think. But, yeah, I love him.
Particular favourite?
Allentown,
I love that song. It's a great song. I love...
We Didn't Start the Fire.
don't like that one. See, I'm
well, it's
I'm
always been
picking
burning,
up
though.
Some, you know, some ridicule of the Billy...
No, not at all.
Look,
Piano Man was one of the first ones.
I think I'm just a little bit.
Don't
I'm
be
a little
sensitive.
Bit gun shy. About
I'm going to jump in and say if anyone says a bad word against Fleetwood Mac, I'm out of here.
and I just dropped Roxette early on, you know, just for no reason at all. So
but
Billy Joel.
I do love Billy. Yeah, always have loved Billy Joel.
And Uptown Girl.
Yeah, Uptown Girl. Always a woman.
Now you're talking.
Just the way you are.
Only the good die young.
Yep.
Oh yeah, catchy little ditties, Judith. Liz Stringer is here with myself and Judith Lucy. We heard a track off the Tides of Time album that was released last year, and one more song that's actually a request from me.
Yes.
Because I did when I first heard this song, Judith, and this is off the Pendulum album.
Yes.
That when I first heard this song, I thought if I ever had. I always thought that this song would be the perfect way to have ended the Larry Sanders Show. That's ridiculous. That was never going to happen, I hate to say. But if I have had a late night show, that this would be the song that I would play because it's called All I Have For You Tonight.
Yes.
And
you never turn the showbiz off, do you?
No, I don't. And so the ABC kindly said, would you like to do 2 weeks? And I thought, one of the shows, I'm going to get Liz Stringer in here to play this song because it's beautiful. Probably... I haven't listened really, you know, I'm not sure there's a massive connection between the words and the theme of the song.
Your and, fantasy.
Yeah, and you know, a little bit of radio, but it doesn't matter. I've got her. And I can do the intro for this, Liz.
Yes, please. Please do.
This is Liz Stringer off the Pendulum album, and this is a beautiful song. It's called All I Have For You Tonight.
The pretty feeling of the motion of those wheels.
Liz Stringer there with All I Have For You Tonight off the Pendulum album. That's not her latest album. Her latest album is Tides of Time. And there's another one? Is there another album?
Yes, soon.
Yeah?
That was the first one.
Hey, Liz Stringer, this is an SMS that's come through. I think a tree just fell on my car outside, but I have to listen to the end of this song. It's beautiful. Oh,
now that is a big compliment.
Isn't it?
You could probably put that on the on your next album.
I should put that on my website. Yeah.
It reminds me, I mean, once again, I don't want to show off, but it reminds me of a particularly good review I got once.
Right.
Which actually, this is true. It was in Edinburgh. The review actually described me as looking like Michelle Pfeiffer's younger sister. Yes, happy with that part of the sentence.
Nice,
but the rest
nice.
Of it was if a tree had fallen on top of her. Yeah.
Did you just put the first half of the sentence in your CV? Your
no, I put the whole thing in because I'm an idiot.
That's a good T-shirt for you, though, back and front.
True.
Dot, 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 and then flip. Liz Stringer, thank you so much for coming in.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
LizStringer.com. I'll do the website plug. LizStringer.com. What was the name of the other album?
The first one, Soon.
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 Pendulum, Tides of Time. Mm-hmm. They're all there. Upcoming gigs? It's national, so anywhere around Australia?
Anywhere around Australia. Well, actually, I'm going to be part of a benefit for the flood victims on Australia Day in Melbourne. It's going to be announced tomorrow, so I shouldn't. All I know is that it's at the Northcote Social Club, so I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot about that. Jen Clough is involved, a whole lot of people involved. So it was Jen's idea. So that's, I'm sure you'll hear all about that in the days to come. But I'm playing a gig at the Northcote on the 24th of March, which is a couple of months away, and that'll be the last one for a while because, I'm going
to
be making an album.
You've got things to do.
Two more. Tomorrow night at the Gem, I'm playing with Van Walker, Gem Bar in Collingwood, Melbourne, and Sunday at the Drunken Poet, Peel Street, West Melbourne.
For everyone else, though, around Australia, LizStringer.com is the website if you want to find out more about our guest. Liz, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Sam. Nice to meet you.
Sensational, Liz Stringer.
Thank you,
yes.
Judith.
Sounded great.
See, I finally got it. So isn't that a beautiful song to take us out?
It is a beautiful song. If only it did take us out.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately.
And we don't have to labour on for a few more minutes.
Well, you know, if you think that song was beautiful, you may want to listen to the dulcet tones of Mr. Leon Compton, who's
try and stop me.
coming up after the news. Hello, nice Leon.
Good evening to you, Sam. Hello, Judith.
Hello, Leon. Can I just apologise because Sam has been calling you Neil all night.
Oh, well, at least as long as he's not calling me late for dinner.
Oh, bing, bang, listen. Boom. But, you know, it's nearly the end of week two, Leon. Don't you think he'd have it right by now? What's wrong with him?
Look, he's going all right. He's putting in a credible effort, Mr. Pang. I think he's doing very well. In fact, I've been walking around the office chuckling across the course of the
night. Credible? Gee, if that's the best you could come up with, Leon.
Yeah, I was really broke it down then. You started at credible and then I had you chuckling. So I'm happy with that. Thank you, Leon. Hey, what's going on? What's coming up on your show tonight?
Look, on the other side of news, yes. What we've got for you tonight is the experience of learning about becoming a home brewer. We're going to be talking about brewing in the home and, you know, making your own beer. Increasingly, we're becoming, you know, more delicate of palate. So we're going to talk about brewing at home this evening. On the other side of news, we've got a man with the best job title in the whole world coming in to talk to us. That's Peter Manders, former master brewer at CUB and now head judge of the Australian International Beer Awards and a brewing expert. So that for you.
And Leon,
after news.
Leon, I ask you this every night, but for the whole 4 hours or some other guests?
Sam, we're going to find out what it looked like to be up close and personal at the elections in Sudan of recent times. In fact, it was a referendum making a decision about whether or not to split the country. Ginny Stein will join us from there and lots, lots more.
Leon? I'll speak to you tomorrow night for the final time.
I look forward to it.
It's my final time.
You're doing brilliantly,
yeah.
Sam.
Thank you, Leon. Always good to talk to you. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
Leon Compton there. Stay tuned after the news. Leon will take you home, even if you are already home, Judith.
What a sentence you put together there.
Judith, this is, you know, let's be honest, the only radio station that will have you.
Pretty much.
You've done two shifts in 2 weeks.
Mm. It's almost been as long as a mini series.
Can you quickly though? Can you talk about your show at all though? Like you do, you've got a television show coming up.
It's it's not on for a long time. You'll have forgotten it by then.
Yeah, you might want to tell some of the newspapers that are seem to be already covering it. This is a long publicity.
We have to scratch around at the start of a year.
Fine, yes, I'll do it.
At some point later on in the year on the ABC, there'll be a show that I'll be on. That'll do. That pretty much covers it.
Judith Lucy's Spiritual Journey is the is that the working title, or we've decided
that's
on
the
that?
Actual title, and it's not about vodka.
Wow, it should be. Well, can I just suggest that vodka will play a small part in it?
Maybe.
Thank you. I just wanted to also thank Felicity Urquhart, who joined us from. We're talking about all things Tamworth Music Country Music Festival that starts tomorrow night and goes through till the 23rd of January. So, headlines, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, God, I'm excited about that.
Casey Chambers, Lee Kerning, and lots more. And also Felicity as well, who does the host of Saturday Night Country on ABC Local Radio. Also, thank you to Santo Chilaro, who came in. Lovely to see Santo again. I reunited you two and the feud's over.
Yeah, you kept going with that line. There never really was a feud, and it didn't really work when you said it at first, and you just stuck with it.
No, that never stops me.
True.
And a big thank you to Liz Stringer, who came in, lizstringer.com, to find out more information. And one more time, thank you, Judith Lucy. Here's the news.